In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. I know that many of you are thinking about home these days, and I don't mean your temporary homes here in Fort Wayne, whether on campus or off. Those places are just where you hang your hat or maybe set your briefcase for a few quarters and years. Rather, I mean those 34 states and several countries from which this year's student body comes. Your permanent home, where your family, friends, and loved ones are, where a Thanksgiving feast is waiting for you just around the corner, where your cars are still registered. And why do you suppose it is that we long for home while here? Could it be the recognition that our existence is temporary? That this time we have at the seminary won't last forever, or at least most hope not? Or could it be that this existence is maybe painful? I think we all experience pain at times in our work and in our study. Pain that's sometimes the result of our own decisions, and at other times maybe the result of others' inconsideration. Could it be maybe that we are burdened, and that's the reason that we long for home? You know, that's a hazard of any occupation, and it seems like maybe just a hazard of being a human being. Whether it's the academic pressures that we as students face, or the pressure to produce and to create that is on the faculty, or the administrative pressures of our staff people, or maybe the confidential burdens that pastors carry around with them from week to week. No matter what, it seems that our lives filled with burdens are maybe like pop machines. As soon as one can comes out, there's always another one to take its place, and in fact, 50 more behind. Well, our scenario is really only a microcosm of all of our life. And it sounds a lot like the life St. Paul lived and the lives of those people in Corinth to whom he wrote. Paul writes again, "For we know that if the earthly tent we live in is destroyed, we have a building from God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. Here indeed we groan and long to put on our heavenly dwelling, so that by putting it on we may not be found naked. For while we are still in this tent, we sigh with anxiety, not that we would be unclothed, but that we would be further clothed, so that what is mortal may be swallowed up by life." Listen to the parallels here. They too sighed under anxieties or burdens which they found in their day-to-day existence. They groaned because of their painful lives. They lived in what St. Paul calls a tent or temporary existence. You know, it's interesting that in these few verses, there are no less than four different words that have some sort of idea of habitation or dwelling. Three of those words are from the same family, words that we would normally associate with the meaning house or household, but one of them is a word for tent, and it's used twice, both times in reference to the temporary existence that we have on this earth, as opposed to the eternal, more permanent home awaiting us. This life we live now is indeed temporary by comparison. As part of our tent-like existence, we have tent-like bodies and tent-like minds, which are beat down, which can fail us, and which are far from perfect. Paul even makes specific reference to that in the following verses, where he talks about his body, talks about being at home in the body now, but wishing that he were away from the body and at home with the Lord. But the apostle here is talking about an awful lot more than bodies. They are only a small part of a much larger picture. As Paul wrote from Ephesus during his third missionary journey, he had occasion in this letter to reflect on his own temporary existence, now moving steadily toward its close. In chapter 1, he speaks of affliction in Asia, being unbearably crushed, despairing of life, and being in deadly peril. Again, in the verses just prior to today's lesson, he relates how he's afflicted, perplexed, persecuted, and struck down. Is the apostle unique in these respects? Is he alone in experiencing the miseries of this life and in longing for a better one? The answer really lies in the very first verses and the very first words of the lesson. For we know, Paul writes, that if the earthly tent we live in is destroyed, we have a building from God. And this existence will be destroyed for all people, because this earthly tent that we live in now is ridden with sin. Why is there sorrow in the first place? Is it because maybe God made a mistake in creation? Was this earthly existence we have supposed to test us and refine us for our future, more permanent one? Or does the fault lie elsewhere, perhaps in our own self-centeredness? We have anguish in this world when God's creation rebels against His own will, when the crown of His creation puts His own desires and will ahead of those of His Creator. It happened once, and the whole creation is paying the penalty. It happens again and again, and we continue to pay the consequence. We see it 19 centuries after St. Paul wrote, when those are ridiculed every day in the newspapers and on the airwaves who speak up for the lives of unborn children or advocate a biblical view of authority or promote a God-pleasing model of human sexuality. We see it even closer to home in our own scheming and manipulation of others, scheming which succeeds only in further destroying our own happiness and showing us over and over again that this life we live is anything but teleios, perfect, complete. But just like today, when so many are longing to go home and are confident that it's going to happen soon, so we as believers in Christ join in the resounding "we know" of this text. We know that if the earthly tent we live in is destroyed, we have a building from God. And what a beautiful existence that is that awaits us. In a very real sense, we have to confess with Saint Bernard, the writer of our hymn, that we don't know what joys await us. The apostle describes them and that existence as one not made with hands, eternal, heavenly. That existence differs from this one as much as life from death. In fact, it is the life that will swallow up death. As believers who put on that eternal joy of rest from this life and presence with the Lord, we know that we will never be found naked, but rather forever clothed in Christ's righteousness and the joys that that brings. How do we know that? Because, as Paul said, "He who has prepared us for this very thing is God, who has given us the Spirit as a guarantee." Paul alone, and in three places, uses the imagery of this guarantee, this arabon, this down payment. And it's used always in connection with the Holy Spirit. It's a term closely associated with baptism, and twice used in the context of our being sealed, which happens in baptism. It is in the waters of holy baptism that you and I receive the Holy Spirit as a down payment, a guarantee of our eternal, more permanent dwelling. It is that same Spirit who strengthens us every day as we are nourished by God's precious word that we are forgiven in Christ Jesus. And by the power of that same Spirit, we are strengthened every Lord's Day as we come together to feast, to receive His body and blood for our forgiveness, and thereby to receive assurance of our incorporation into that eternal kingdom. Still, the great joy that we experience in knowing that we are forgiven and knowing that we have a guaranteed eternal habitation is only a shadow of that great joy that will actually be ours in Jerusalem, the golden, where the feast will never end. But meanwhile, back in reality, we know we have a ways to go before reaching our temporary goals in this temporary existence. As some of us here today have called Fort Wayne home for a long time, there are others, future vicars and graduates, that know before long they'll have a new permanent dwelling, a new place where you can sink your roots, live in a spacious home, maybe Broken Arrow or Devil's Lake or even Zap. But no home on this earth is ever going to compare with the glory and beauty of the heavenly home that awaits us. And it is toward that golden Jerusalem that we press on with confidence, living every day in the grace of our baptism and the power of the Holy Spirit, our guarantee. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.